Bob Surratt.
I am the morning DJ at
WGN.
It is 8:39. The weekend is here. That means more time to be stuck at home with your COVID partner. More time to get on each other's nerves.
I'm sorry. So sorry.
Marianne, you've been looking into how to say I'm sorry properly. Can I apologize now for anything wrong I do this weekend? Just get it out of the way ahead of time?
Yeah, you know, with that little song you played, I know you're sorry already for things you haven't done, and I'll give you a preemptive pardon.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, that seems to be the thing to do these days. Here, I'll just do it right now. It was dreadful. I don't know what came over me, and it will never happen again. So now I'm covered for the weekend. How did the experts...
I don't know if that really actually works, the preemptive pardon.
Well, what did the experts say about this?
Well, the relationship experts are saying that there's a way to repair mistakes before they turn into real conflicts. And it isn't the way that you usually do it.
How do I do it?
You say, we have an argument, and then you'll say, well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
No, that's kind of a non-apology apology, isn't it?
Right, exactly. Now, a real apology has pretty much 6 steps. So do you want to hear the 6 elements of a good apology?
Yeah, I think we need to hear them. Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. So you start off by expressing your regret. Okay. So you tell the other person that you're sorry for what you did, and you've got to get this part right because it's the first part. Because if you don't, it's going to set the tone for everything else that follows, which is what happens with us when you start off by saying, I'm sorry you feel that way.
I never have that tone. Come on.
Okay, speaking of tone, it's critical. So so you have to sound sincere. You can't sound insincere or sarcastic, or else it doesn't count. So you have to say, I'm genuinely really sorry, and communicate, you know, with your emotions that, right?
Well, yeah, you can do that if you calm down. You can't, if you're still angry at, you know, you can't.
That's right.
You can't do it.
Exactly. And if you are sarcastic and you say, I'm sorry, did I offend you? You know, it diminishes the apology.
Yeah, those celebrities or politicians who put in the line, if I offended anyone, that's a non-apology apology too, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. If I offended anyone, well, of course you offended somebody,
right.
You know, and then that's, you know, you should be apologizing for that. So that's being sarcastic. Okay. So number 2, explain what went wrong. So here you have a chance to explain your thinking so that you can let the person, you know, whether it's your spouse or your partner, know that there was a reason behind the mistake you made. A lot of people get carried away with this, though, and then it sounds like you're defending your actions. So you don't want that. You just want to show the intention behind your actions so that, you know, if they think you did something wrong because you were thoughtless or you didn't care, That's not the point. They need to hear the reasoning behind your error.
Yeah, so see, that's what I do. Yeah. I will explain, and then you claim that turns into a defense. And then if you're defending, it's not an apology. So that's tricky.
That is where you and I get stuck, yes. Because I think you go a little overboard with that, and then it's like, yeah, well, I had a good reason to do this.
Yeah,
right?
I like to dissect and analyze, as you know.
Yes. Yeah. I'm glad you do. Okay, number 3 is acknowledge responsibility. So own whatever you did wrong. So this is key because then your partner knows that you're aware of your actions. So you have to own it. You can't, like, deny that you did it. You have to own that you did this thing. So if you shift the blame to something or someone else, then it's going to make things worse.
Okay, I accept responsibility. That's an easy one. Okay. I can do that.
Okay, so number 4 is declare your repentance.
Oh,
so you have to be sincere. So step up and promise that whatever it is that you did will never happen again. So it's a promise. So you have to, you know, come through with it and don't do it again, or else you're going to lose credibility.
See,
what happens with kids a lot. A lot of kids will say, okay, I won't do it again. And then 5 minutes later, they do it. And so, you don't want to be that person.
Yeah. See, you don't let me declare my repentance, though, because I'll apologize and then I'll say I'm sorry. And then you'll say, oh, you're just saying that because you don't want me to be mad at you. And then I'll say, well, what do you want me to say? I'm not sorry. It's a trick.
Okay. Well, I don't think you're learning anything here, Bob. We're in step four, and I don't think you've learned yet.
All right. Keep going. Two more.
Okay. Number five. Offer a repair. And that does not mean go out and buy flowers.
No, I thought that always works.
No. So if you've already said you're sorry, but what are you going to do to make it right? How do you move forward from here? Let your partner or your spouse or whoever it is know that you're not just sorry in the moment, but that you've established a plan to go forward and fix things in the long term. That will make the apology go down a lot easier. And a lot of times, I mean, you know, our personalities get stuck in all of this. I mean, like, we are, you know, sometimes we need help. We need outside help. Maybe what you're going to do is talk to your therapist about what happened so you can dissect it further. You know, and it doesn't become like your personal problem, you know, affects both of you. But you're going to go out and you're going to get this fixed somehow. Yeah. So that is a good plan of repair.
Believe me, when we're having a fight, as I'm working on the apology, I'm already making the appointment with the shrink. Don't worry. You don't have to remind me about that.
Okay. And the last one is it's ask for forgiveness. So it's the least important element of the apology, because if you've nailed the other five, this one is just like a formality.
All right. Well, now that we know that, we can bring in the etiquette expert to talk about how to tip and who to tip and how much to tip. We're going to do that next. But before I let you go, Marianne, we're talking about Chris Myers today, rumored to possibly be the replacement for Len Casper in the Cubs marquee broadcast booth. And you knew this guy from Miami, right? What do you know about him?
You know, I did not stay in touch with him, but I did work with him in the very early 80s at WCIX-TV in Miami, or maybe it was the late 70s. It was around 1980, maybe 1979 or 1980 or 81, something like that. But, I never paid attention to sports, right? Like, I never have cared, you know, when I was younger especially, I did not care about sports in any way. But Chris Myers was, he made me pay attention to sports.
Oh, wow.
I would see him prepare. Yeah, the guy is so, I mean, I don't know what he's been like in the last 30 years or whatever, but I just remember he was a truly a stand, you know, he stood out. And mm-hmm. He was just like the nicest guy ever. I always really, really, really liked him.
All right, well, there you go.
He made me pay attention to sports. And every time I see him on Fox Sports, you know, I'm like, oh my God, I love Chris Myers.
Well, if Myers made Marianne a sports fan, the Cubs the Cubs could definitely do well with him at Marquee.
He's such a great guy. I hope you meet. Have you met him?
Yeah. I said hi to him for you one time. Yeah, he seemed to be a very nice guy. I'm
he
sorry.
Remembered me?
Yes, he did. I apologize. It was dreadful. It'll never happen again. And I'll
see you soon. Listen. Huh? So for anybody out there who maybe missed the apology, go to savvy-planet.com, and we are, you know, posting it there. And if you sign up, you'll get it. You'll receive this, you know, what you just heard in an email on Tuesday.
That could come in handy this weekend. Thank you, Marianne.
Yeah. All right.
It's 8:47.
Thanks, bye. I'm sorry.